Sports TW. Listen, I know you have so many choices for your entertainment. So, whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with me. Real quick, before we get started, go ahead and do your boy a favor and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to this, just the audio on Spotify, go ahead and subscribe to the pod. If you're listening to this via YouTube, then hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button so everybody knows you like this video. Hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new fire content on this page. I promise to be all up in your feeds, all up on your timeline, more than ever. You know why? Because we got some good stuff to talk about now, baby. Yes. Listen, the wrestling world is in a state of shock. The wrestling world is in a state of confusion. The wrestling world is in a state of what the heck just happened? Because everyone is still dealing and processing with what happened at the end of the War Games show last night. Listen, Survivor Series was an excellent show. Two War Games matches that were both chef kiss. Excellent matches to book in the show, to start the show with the women's match and to end the show. But ain't nobody talking about that right now. Those matches were absolutely great, but ain't nobody talking about that right now. And you know why? Because everyone is here to talk about the return of CM Punk. The return of CM Punk, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. It happened. There's no more speculation. There was a ton of speculation. Would it happen? Wouldn't it happen? People were threatening to retire if it actually happened, right? Everybody had a say. Everybody had a stake. Me personally, I was in the camp of I didn't think it would happen because I didn't think WWE needed him. And they don't need him. They didn't need him. But I also thought that it was one of those things where the risk to reward was probably not an apples to apples trade-off, right? It's not like he's going to make our shows that much more interesting, that much better, to where it's worth the potential headache he could provide in a backstage capacity. Now, I'm not saying that based off of obviously having worked with him, but listen, at one point, you gotta say, if you do the same thing, if you have a repeated pattern of behavior, if you have a repeated pattern of reaction to working with you everywhere you go, at some point it's you, right? I think that's fair. That's fair, right? Like, you know, always say, you know, if one person says something about you, that's their opinion. If two people say something about you, then maybe you should start to listen a little bit. But if everybody is saying the same thing about you, then they're not wrong. Everybody's not gonna get together and conspire to talk bad about one person, make one person look bad, okay? CM Punk obviously has a repeated history of not playing well with others, right? So we've seen this in the past, and, you know, you are what you repeatedly do. And you could even argue that there are already some signs that that will be the case this time around in WWE. And we're going to talk more about that as we get into it. But let's not bury the headline. Let's get into that even a little bit more now. So at the end of the War Games show, I really love the way that this reveal happened, okay? We had the men's War Games show, the big reveal, the thing everybody was anticipating was the return of Randy Orton, right? And they did it so well. They had all the Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre were in the cage. All of Team Cody was in the cage. And the Judgment Day got Team Cody all beaten down. And then they all beat Seth down. They beat down Seth, and then Priest looks out to the entranceway, and the Judgment Day music hits, and Rhea Ripley comes down with the Money in the Bank briefcase and a referee. So it's like, oh, he's gonna cash in the Money in the Bank right now, pin Seth Rollins, and be the World Heavyweight Champion. I was like, that's brilliant. That's something we've never seen before. And so Rhea runs down, gives everybody time to process this thing. Was, oh my God, how's this gonna happen? Is this gonna happen? Is this gonna be real? And just as she drags the ref over to the timekeeper, gets ready to hand in the briefcase, Randy Orton's music hits. Randy Orton's music hits. Randy comes down. Randy is looking jacked. Randy damn near looked like Brock Lesnar. Randy was swole. He looks like somebody who was, you know, motivated to work out, to build up his body with as much muscle as possible to try and protect himself from, you know, future injury. Now, I believe they said he had double fusion back surgery. When I heard that, my first thought was, man, I wouldn't wish double fusion back surgery on my worst enemy. That sounds terrible. That sounds awful. I hurt my back when I was like 15 years old playing football, and my back hasn't been right since. Like, listen, bad backs don't go away. So this Randy Orton, and you could, you know, if you were paying attention, you know, his movement was a little limited. Okay. Like, not exact. He did a great job, but it wasn't as fluid as what we've been used to seeing with Randy Orton, because again, double fusion back surgery. Okay. Like, I don't care how tough you are, you're going to operate with some level of caution after having major fusion surgery done to your back. Like, that's just human nature. So, but he played the hits, right? He did the, they did a spot where everybody did the, all five members did the rope drape DDT. You know, they did a spot where they threw JD McDonagh off the top of the cage into an RKO. That was bananas. That's going to go down as one of the craziest RKOs of all time. Definitely not the best RKO. In my opinion, the greatest RKO was the WrestleMania 31 Seth Rollins stomp into the RKO spot. That was one of the wildest RKOs I've ever seen. That was the wildest RKO I've ever seen. That was just crazy. So the babyfaces get the win. Everybody's cheering. It's a great moment. And they put up the lower third, right? This was Triple H going back to the old. I remember he did this on the NXT TakeOver special, right? Think of the one where Tommaso Ciampa turns on Johnny Gargano, right? They're getting ready to go off screen. They put up the lower third, and then Ciampa turns on him, starts putting the beat down on Johnny Gargano. They did that. The babyfaces are celebrating. They're in the cage. Everybody's got their arms up. Yay! Yay! Everybody go home happy. And then they hit the right? And everybody was losing their mind. So the CM Punk, you know, it was a reality. The camera shot goes straight to CM Punk, and he just walks out to the, you know, the end of the entranceway. And he's just there, like, he's playing to the crowd. You see him look towards the ring and, like, wave towards people. At no point do they put the camera back on the wrestlers in the ring. And I think that was intentional. But I work in television. I can tell you for a fact that was intentional. I mean, the thing is that we don't know what the future plans are, right? So we can't. Whenever we see something and we feel like we can kind of, we can tell that a behind the scenes thing is happening, we always want to try to ask why. Why is this happening, right? Like, for example, there's a video circulating of Drew McIntyre walking away from the cage, holding his head, and you can see the cameraman kind of waving him on to give him his cue that it's okay to walk. Now, a lot of people are speculating, oh, hey, this is all part of, you know, all part of the bigger story, right? This is all part of the work. It's a work, bro. You know, you got the everybody, it's a work, bro thing for everything. It could have been that. It could have also been that everybody knows there are certain signals for certain things. So, for example, if you're ever at a WWE show and you can't miss the cameramen all around the ring, they have signals for different things, and they'll position the camera where they need to be for the next shot. So if someone is about to come down the entranceway, all of the cameras will point towards the entranceway, right? There's a good chance that McIntyre could have gotten out of the cage, said to the stage manager, you know, hey, I need to go back to the stage. And he could have been like, okay, hey, you're out of my shot now. It's cool for you to go. That could have happened. It could have also been a signal to the rest of the crew that, hey, this guy's going to walk back. Don't shoot it, right? So, again, if you're the director and you're the stage crew, you're not out there flying blind and just reacting to what happens. You know which shot is next. It's part of the presentation. They need the viewer at home to see certain things at certain times, and the cameras need to be in position to shoot the important thing that's happening. So, if you listen to what Triple H said in the post-show press conference, he said that pretty much nobody knew about it except for him and Nick Khan. But you would also have to include in that, again, once you start putting together your rundown and your production, you have to include the director. So I believe that's Kevin Dunn, right? And he has to relay that to whoever is important to him. So when stuff is happening post-match, the crew with the cameras, they need to know, okay, yes, we're about to go off the air, but we're still shooting one more thing. There's one more thing happening. They may not know specifically what it is. They may not know it's CM Punk, right? But they may have a signal that, hey, after this match is over, there's one more big important thing to shoot, and we're going to be pointing towards the entranceway, right? So there's a chance, and again, I don't claim to know. I don't have inside information here. But there's a chance that when you see that video of the cameraman waving his hand so that Drew McIntyre can walk by, that could have also been a signal to the rest of the crew that this is not the thing that we're about to shoot, right? So again, if you're the crew, you have a run list. You have a shot list of things that are supposed to happen, right? You had a shot list for the entire War Games match, right? And you know that as the match is ending, you're shooting all the reaction, all the hero shots, you know, certain crowd shots. I'm sure different cameras at different positions have different responsibilities. And I'm sure that all the people with cameras knew that something big was happening, something important to the show was happening after the War Games match. Again, they may not have known that CM Punk is here, but they knew they had to shoot something else after the match was over. So, one of the possibilities for what was being communicated when we see that cameraman waving his hands as Drew McIntyre is walking by is that could have been a signal to the rest of the camera crew that this is not the thing that we're shooting. Again, if Drew McIntyre is sitting there going, hey, I need to go now. I don't want to walk through your shot. I don't want to mess up your shot. Then, you know, he could have been like, okay, now's a good time for you to go. All our cameras are focused on what's happening in the ring, and you got a couple of seconds before this next thing happens, okay? So the point is, we don't know. We don't know what the signals were. And I'm not here to tell you to stop trying to figure it out. Keep trying to figure it out. That's the world we live in. There's fan cam videos. There's dirt sheet reports. There's dirt sheet rumors. I do know that a report came out shortly after the show that Drew McIntyre stormed to the back and he was mad and he left without talking to anybody. There's a great chance that was leaked for entertainment purposes. Great chance. Because if you look at that video and you see Drew McIntyre walking to the back, there doesn't appear to be anything especially wrong with him, right? He's not like cursing at fans or anything like that. Like, this could very well all be a part of the show. I'm just saying that the part where you see the cameraman motioning with his hand and then Drew walks by, that's not necessarily, if they wanted you to focus on Drew McIntyre in that moment, they would have shot that, okay? As a person who works in television production, I am telling you, if they wanted you to know, if part of the story was that Drew McIntyre is pissed and is walking away, they would have shot that, okay? Like that's how visual storytelling works. You show the audience what you want them to see. So if that was an important part of the story, it would have been on camera. So just keep that in mind as we're analyzing all the fan content that's coming out now, right? So again, I love the way that was set up, and here's the next part of this. I mentioned the fan cam videos of watching Drew McIntyre walk out and all the speculation, oh, that's a work, bro, whatever, yeah, whatever, cool. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm just offering you a little insight for, you know, somebody who gets behind the curtain a little bit, like not WWE. I don't work at WWE. I've never worked at WWE, but I've worked, you know, live event television before, okay? I'm just telling you, this is how things work. Now, let's get to what was the really, really, really interesting thing coming out of this, right? Like, obviously, you're excited for the moment. You know, WWE just couldn't turn down the pop. They couldn't turn down the opportunity to make this moment. And I don't blame them for that, okay? I don't blame them for taking the opportunity to make a big moment, okay? I don't blame them for that at all. But now the question is, what do we do next, right? What do we do next? And by the way, I don't even think we get to that part yet, because let's go back to all the fan cam videos. And what did the fan cam videos tell us? Well, we saw a couple. We saw one of Rhea Ripley on the the opposite side of the cage when Punk's music hit, and she's like flipping them off from, you know, from a distance. And then you see like Randy Orton, he's taking a chair and sitting down because he has a bad back. So he's taking a chair and sitting down, and he's like waving to CM Punk. Like, you know, Randy Orton, look, man, Randy Orton is at a part where he's at a point in his career where, you know, at one point he was the troublemaker, but he's been there, you know, he's established now, you know, he's a legend. He's, you know, he's more of a locker room leader at this point. You know what I mean? Like but he's also part of being a locker room leader in a space like WWE is you can't be scared of the smoke, right? Like, part of being a locker room leader in an environment full of grown men, high testosterone environment, very competitive environment, you have to be ready and willing to step to somebody on a man-to-man level in the event that they're messing up the money. Because that's what it comes down to. When you're at a big operation, you know, like WWE, a big show, it all comes down to the money, right? And like, we're going to talk about this a little more when I get to the Seth Rollins part of all this, but ultimately, it's all about the money. And there's a lot of things that play into it, but just keep that note in mind, because we're going to come back to this, okay? So we saw the video of Rhea Ripley not looking very pleased, right? Looking very bored or thrown off by what she was seeing from CM Punk. Didn't look impressed by his shtick. Same thing for Randy Orton. The rest of the guys in the ring looked pretty disinterested, right? Like, they were just kind of like, okay, we got to sit here and let him do his thing. Like, they understand that the moment that's happening right now is, you know, Punk is coming out and people are, you know, they're shooting his moment. And so most of the wrestlers were just chilling in the cage. Like, okay, when is this over? When can we go back to the locker room? Now, who wasn't just chilling, just waiting for it to be over, letting it pass, was the homie Seth Rollins. The homie Seth freaking Rollins. He was very, very, very vocal about what he thought about CM Punk showing up at that moment. And you guys can see the videos. I'm sure you probably have seen them by now. His reactions were heavy. His reactions were very visual. He was flipping Seth Rollins the double birds. You don't have to be a lip reader to see what he was yelling at CM Punk as he was standing at the aisle. And there appears to be a lot of antagonistic relationship that exists between CM Punk and Seth Rollins. And we don't know all of the genesis, all the story about it. But these are both guys who never shy away from a microphone, who are always willing to put something out there that blurs the lines between the scripted and the unscripted. And they'll say some things that can feel kind of personal from time to time. So do I think Seth Rollins knew CM Punk was coming back? Probably not. But I will say, I thought his reaction seemed a little over the top, right? Like, Seth Rollins is a guy who we all saw get attacked by a complete stranger on live television, right? During a Monday Night Raw when he was walking down the aisle, getting ready to, was he leaving there? Yeah, he was leaving a match, getting ready to go back to the dressing room, and some crazy person ran up and attacked him. Seth Rollins very calmly, very nonchalantly got the little fat man into a guillotine, which he could have choked him out with, and, you know, went on about his business. So if you can keep calm in a very unplanned, spontaneous, very real situation like that, I don't think you're going to just lose your marbles at the sight of someone you don't like. Okay? So I think that all of that reaction we saw from Seth Rollins was, what's the right word I'm looking for here? It was intentional. It was intentional. I'm not saying it wasn't real, but I'm saying that I think it was for the sake of being seen. And you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I always say wrestling is at, and always will be, always has been, and always will be, at its best when the lines between the scripted and unscripted are blurred. And that's what we have here. We know that there's history of dislike, discontent, however you want to say it, between Seth Rollins and CM Punk. We know that that exists. We know that that is a thing. But we also know that Seth Rollins is an absolutely amazing talent who keeps getting bumped down the card for other people, right? Like, he's, I've always thought that Seth Rollins and Sasha Banks had this interesting thing in common, which is the fact that they've both been cast for their entire WWE careers. They've been cast in roles as a second fiddle to a person that they believe they are better than. And professionally speaking, that's got to eat you up. Now, listen, if you're not somebody who thinks you are good at your job and doesn't like to see other people getting promoted ahead of you, then you can't understand this concept. But if you're somebody who pours yourself into your work and thinks you're good at your work, you don't like to see other people getting credit that you think you deserve. That's very natural. Professional jealousy is real, and I think it's healthy, and you just can't let it, you know, consume you and let it turn you into, you know, a person who you don't want to be. But I think we see a lot of that with Seth Rollins. And so the arrival of CM Punk told everybody in that ring at the same time, you're getting bumped down the card, or you potentially could be getting bumped down the card. I believe this all came together so suddenly that they don't have, as of last night, they didn't have a plan for CM Punk. So they don't know where he's going to be. But immediately, you have to start thinking WrestleMania. You see that big name enter the group chat. You know that WrestleMania is all about big names, all about marquees. So you got to be real with yourself. He's going to be near the top of the card for WrestleMania, okay? CM Punk, barring health or some sort of other dysfunction, CM Punk is going to be near the top of the card at WrestleMania. So if you are Seth Rollins, if you are Cody Rhodes, if you are Gunther, if you are Jey Uso, if you're anybody but Roman Reigns, your spot is in jeopardy. That is a fact. That is a fact. If you are anybody but Roman Reigns, your spot at WrestleMania is in jeopardy. Because, again, if CM Punk stays healthy and keeps his name hot, he's going to be near the top of the card at WrestleMania. We can't guarantee he's going to be the main event, but he's going to be near the top of the card at WrestleMania. And depending on how hot he gets, he could be at the top of the card at WrestleMania. He may want to work with Roman Reigns. And if he wants to work with Roman Reigns, sorry, Cody. If CM Punk wants to play the good Boy Scout, be the good soldier, be the good company man, do everything he can do to make money for TKO and WWE between now and WrestleMania, and his desire is to main event night two with Roman Reigns, sorry, Cody. You're going to have to finish the story some other time, or you're going to have to adjust the story, or something else. Triple H always has this thing. It's, you know, WWE is a never-ending story, and he's right about that, right? Just because something doesn't happen when the fans think it should doesn't mean it's never going to happen. But the thing that every person in that ring, except maybe Rhea Ripley, realized when CM Punk walked through that curtain, when CM Punk stepped out on that stage, uh-oh, I need to make myself relevant right now. So if there's a chance that somebody told the wrestlers before they went out, right? Let's just say somebody told the wrestlers before they went out, hey, go out there, have your match. Don't worry about anything. But after the match, everybody hang near the ring. CM Punk is coming back. Let's just say there's a chance that somebody told the wrestlers that before they went out. If you're Drew McIntyre and your whole thing has been this discontent that you feel about the fact that you finally won the WWE Championship, you beat Brock Lesnar, but it was in the empty warehouse, and then you finally got back to a title match at WrestleMania, but you lost to Bobby Lashley at the Black Lives Matter WrestleMania. If that's been your beef, right, then you finally got the big title match against Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle, and you got screwed over there, and then you've never quite been back to the top of the card. If any of that discontentment is real, and I bet on some level there's some elements of reality to it, if that's how you feel, then why would you want to sit there and be the good soldier and cheer as another person comes back who's going to be taking your place near the top of the card? You don't want to sit there and be a good guy as somebody else is coming along who's going to push you even further and further down the card. That's just not realistic, right? Because again, that's the part about WWE that is real. The part about WWE that is real is the competition for spots on the card. The competition for who's going to be the main event, who's going to be the second from the main event, who's going to sell the most t-shirts, who's going to sell the most merch, who's going to make themselves the most interesting to the company so that they will market you and feature you the most. Right? Again, that's the part about WWE that is real, right? It's the competition among the performers. And even though the competition is real, it's not a fair competition, right? It's not an apples to apples competition. If WWE looked at Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and said, hey, give me the guy who can talk better. Give me the guy who can wrestle better. Give me the guy who can play more characters and have more variety. It would have been Seth Rollins by a landslide. But that's not how it works. They looked at Roman Reigns and they saw an icon. They saw a generational talent, right? They saw something special in Roman Reigns and they said, yo, we're going to make this work. We're going to make this work no matter what. And damn it, they were right. Right? Like, they had to ride it out. They had to ride it out through years of fan rejection. But eventually he developed into what he is now. And he's the top of the industry. Right? So it's not an apples to apples competition. Right? But it is a competition. And so back to Seth Rollins' reaction. This is where we were all going with this. I think in that moment, Seth Rollins said, I'm not getting outshined here. I think in that moment, Seth Rollins said, you've already pushed me down the card for Cody Rhodes. I'm not going to let this guy just come in and bump me out of my spot. And so Seth said, in this moment, one of the things that will be remembered is my reaction. So I'm not suggesting that there's not some elements of reality to the way he reacted. I think he does feel some type of way about CM Punk. And I think CM Punk feels some type of way about him. But after the way Seth Rollins behaved in the aftermath of CM Punk appearing at the end of Survivor Series, you want to see what's next. You absolutely want to see what's next. And so kudos to Seth Rollins, because that's smart. That's playing the game smartly. Because again, if headline A is CM Punk return, headline B is Seth Rollins is pissed about it. So good for him. Good for him. And here's the funny thing, the interesting thing about it, right? Again, we can all debate whether or not those reactions from certain talent were planned. We can debate whether or not they were just hamming it up, trying to, you know, keep themselves interesting, keep themselves in the limelight. But look at Rhea Ripley's reaction. Rhea Ripley's not going to have a match with CM Punk, right? She's not trying to work an angle where she gets into a spot with CM Punk. Randy Orton may or may not, but, you know, whatever. He wasn't overdoing it. There was an element of reality in the way that those people were reacting to seeing CM Punk. So, like, the funny thing about it is this big return, and by the way, another person who just got bumped down the card is probably the hottest act on Monday Night Raw right now. It's Jey Uso, right? Jey Uso, you just been bumped down the card too. So you better turn it up. You better have every crowd everywhere we go. You better have them bopping up and down. You better have them yeet. They better be hearing that all over the world every time you come out, because the competition is real. That's the good thing that CM Punk's addition has added to this mix, is the reminder that, yeah, we're all on a team to make this show go off and look good. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to be in the biggest matches. I'm trying to get the sponsorships. I'm trying to sell the most merch. That part is an individual thing. And CM Punk returning to the mix has just reinforced to everybody that that's what time it is. So that's really dope. And the funny thing, again, you know, I mentioned Jey Uso being bumped down the card because of CM Punk's return. CM Punk in real life is going to be living the Jey Uso storyline. Think about it. The Jey Uso storyline has been that he's returning and he doesn't, and everyone doesn't accept him right now. And that's what's happening with CM Punk in real life. Like, CM Punk is returning and some people are going to be open arms. Hey, come on, man. Let's get this money. And some people are going to be like, dog, I know you're toxic. I know everything you did. And we don't want you back. And it's funny because that is the exact same story that they're telling with Jey Uso. It's funny how art imitates life and in that way. But here's the great thing, okay? Monday Night Raw just became really interesting. Monday Night Raw just became really, really interesting. Right? There's no way of denying that. Maybe even SmackDown too, right? Because tell me there's one thing in wrestling right now that you are more interested in than the first time CM Punk gets a microphone in his hand. Tell me there's one thing in wrestling right now that you are more interested in than what is going to happen the first time they put CM Punk in a ring with a live microphone, and then the next time we see Seth Rollins in a ring with a live microphone. Tell me there is anything in wrestling right now that you are more excited to see than that. These promos are about to be fire. Fire. And we, listen, embrace this madness, okay? I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you, oh, stop worrying about the dirt sheets, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nah, F that. Dig into the dirt sheets, dive in. Okay, let's do all the talking. Don't do all the weird things, okay? Like the stalking people at the airport and talking about people's families and all. Don't be weird, but enjoy the fun thing that's happening right now. We have a moment in which wrestling is blurring the lines between the scripted and the unscripted, the personal and the professional. All the goodness of wrestling is at our fingertips. We have trouble recognizing at times when we're living in a great moment. We are living in a great moment right now. A lot of people, you know, really talk about how great, you know, the PLEs have been this year. I gotta be honest with you. Since WrestleMania, I think they've been mostly on cruise control. Since WrestleMania last year, I think they've been mostly on cruise control. Okay? Like, I've said a million times, you know, I think they kind of blew it by not having Cody win the title. And it just, you know, I don't know. It felt like a miss. It felt like a miss. And because Roman went away anyway, right? And they should have ended the Bloodline Civil War. The Bloodline story was the greatest story of this current generation. It breathed new life into WWE's business. When they went back out on the road post-pandemic, it provided, you know, the what we were all calling cinema, right? The way that they were just telling these stories week after week, weaving people in, weaving people out. It breathed new life into Sami Zayn's career. It breathed new life into Jey Uso's career. The Bloodline was the best story of this generation. But it should have ended. It should have ended with the Bloodline Civil War. And because they didn't end it properly, it's left this weird kind of dot, 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 but now what? I've said before that it's kind of become NWO Wolfpack, where they didn't quite end it, but they kind of ended. And it's just like, is this still a thing? And you got all these guys who were in the Bloodline kind of branching off and becoming their own stars. And we know that this is all coming back together at some point, right? We know this is all coming back together. They plan to do Uso versus Uso at WrestleMania. Roman's got to finally come up off that title at some point. But like, they should have given us a proper conclusion to that story, and they haven't. So it's weird because the story that had us hanging on pins and needles for all of, you know, 2021, 2022, most of 2023, well, the first part of 2023, they could have put a bow on it, and they could have given us a proper ending. But instead, now we've dragged this thing out, and it's been like, okay, but that story's not over. What's up with the next thing? And it's been, from a storytelling standpoint, this year has been somewhat of a miss. But here's what's great. Because of what happened with CM Punk returning, right? Let me get my calendar out here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 9 Monday Night Raws between now and the Royal Rumble. 9 Monday Night Raws between now and the Royal Rumble. So guess what that means, ladies and gentlemen? It's WrestleMania season. Yes, it's WrestleMania season. We are in WrestleMania season. So that means that everything they do on TV, everything they do for the next 9 weeks is going to be setting up what happens at the Royal Rumble. We know that what happens at the Royal Rumble is a direct setup for what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So we're in WrestleMania season. We're here. Congratulations, we made it. We made it. We're here. We're in WrestleMania season. And I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm happy because the stuff that's happening now matters. There's been a lot of setup to get us to this point. But we're here now. Right? We're here now. So Here's a question. If you made it this far into the pod, thank you. What are you guys looking forward to most heading into WrestleMania season? What are you guys looking forward to the most? For me, I got to say, top of the mind, CM Punk, right? Not so much because I care about CM Punk per se, but I want to see how the arrival of CM Punk is going to shift what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Because if you had asked me prior to last night, I would have told you that I expect WrestleMania to be Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso for the Intercontinental title, Seth Rollins versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship, Cody versus Roman for the Universal Championship, and whatever, let the rest play out. But now with the arrival of CM Punk, that's all thrown into question. That is all up in the air. And so where are we going? Who knows? Who knows? But the fun part is that as fans, we get to sit back. We get to take it in. We get to watch the drama unfold, both real and perceived drama. And yeah, man, like, this is the best time of the year. This is the best time of year to be a fan. If you know anybody who's a Laps fan, now would be the time to tell them to come back. Now would be the time to tell them to start paying attention to the tweets. Like, this is it, man. This is it. We are here. It's WrestleMania season. Congratulations. We have made it. Real quick before we go, if you enjoy what we're doing here, please hit that like button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, whether you listen to this on pod or you listen to this on the YouTube. Hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. Listen, if you want to tweet me, you can tweet the show at Talking About Pod. Tweet me, I tweet back. If you want to send me an email, if you got any questions, you can tweet. You can email the show at talkingaboutpod@gmail.com. Shout out to everybody listening. Thank you guys so much. I'm gonna try to be in your feeds a lot more frequently and a lot more regularity. But in the meantime, enjoy these pods, okay? Enjoy these pods and let's get to it. Listen, if you really want to help out the show, the nicest thing you could do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace.